The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and went with haste to the Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord. As you know, Advent is a time of preparation, of waiting, and of hope. And it's also a time when the church invites us to take a little bit of a closer look at our lives and our hearts to see how we can refine our relationship with God and go a little bit deeper. And so during this Advent, Deacon Charles and I have been preaching on a series on the topic of prayer, because prayer is absolutely essential if we want to refine and go deeper in our relationship with God. So the first Sunday of Advent, we read in the Gospel how Jesus told his followers to watch and pray always. Now, watch and pray always. It was not merely a nice suggestion, but it was rather a command. It's a command because to watch and pray always is necessary for us if we want to attain salvation and the kingdom of heaven one day. Because if we don't watch over our hearts, our lives, our decisions, and motivations, we can easily slip into and lose ourselves in the ways of the world. And if we don't pray, we'll just simply not have the strength to follow the ways of Christ. So watch and pray always is the essential part of our relationship with God. And we also, on that first Sunday, reflected on a few simple ways in which we can put that command into effect in our daily lives. On the second Sunday of Advent, we took a look at the connection between prayer and knowing one's vocation in life. And I shared with you how for years I did not know what to do with my life, and I tried many different things, and none of them were working out, and no doors were opening. And then after I became a Catholic, it suddenly dawned on me one day that I had never ever prayed and asked God what his plan was for my life. It was only after I started to pray about it that slowly over the course of years, things began to work out and fall into place. Last week was the third Sunday of Advent, and Deacon Charles spoke about how everyone goes through periods of darkness and sufferings in our life, but that this is really an opportunity for us to go deeper in our prayer, to pray from the heart, even with groanings and tears, that this is actually a special time of supplication, and it's a privileged moment in which we're sharing a little bit more deeply in the sufferings of Christ and his passion. And these are moments of special closeness to Christ, even though it doesn't feel that way. During these times of intense supplication and suffering, once we reach the point of wrestling with God and we reach the point of really a sincere surrender of the situation to Christ and a trust in him completely, then peace will return to our souls, and we will find that in the process, our hearts have been greatly purified. Today, the readings speak about surrendering one's will to God's will for us. So it's a connection between prayer and obedience. In the second reading, we hear St. Paul say that when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. See, I have come to do your will, O God. So Christ is surrendering his will to the will of the Father. And in the Gospel, we hear how St. Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to you by the Lord." In other words, Mary is blessed because she believed and obeyed God and his plan for her life. When the Archangel Gabriel came to Mary and announced that she was to be the mother of God's Son, Mary responded by saying, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." In other words, I identify and give my will completely over to God's will for me. And so we're really now getting to the core of our relationship with God. To do God's will, that was the goal of all the saints. Perfection of the soul consists in surrendering our will to God's will in all things. The reason for this is because we may give money or material goods in charity to other people, and by doing so, we're giving some of what we have. We may also give fasting and some mortification, but when we do that, we're just giving up some of our food. And we may do acts of charity, fraternal goodness to others, and when we do, we're giving up some of our time and some of our energy. But when we give our will to God, we are giving him everything we have, and we're giving him who we are. And in fact, Scripture says this is exactly what God is asking for from us. Proverbs 23 puts it very succinctly, where God says, "My son, give me your heart." And then Jesus teaches us to pray for that daily when he taught the Lord's Prayer, and he said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so this is the whole purpose of prayer. It's the whole purpose of trying to do good deeds, of coming to Mass on Sunday, going to confession regularly, meditating on the Scriptures. All of these things have one goal in mind, and that is to learn how to unite our will to God's will for us. Because that is the perfection of love. Perfect love of God means complete union of our will to God's will. Perfect love of neighbor means to love others as God loves them according to his will. So it's all, everything is wrapped up with embracing and doing God's will in our heart and in our life. So how can we practice this? Well, just one simple suggestion, and that is that during the or throughout the day, at various circumstances, simply to turn to God and lift up our hearts briefly to God in prayer, and just say something like, "As you will it, O Jesus, so I will it too." Teresa of Avila, we're told, was in the habit of at least 50 times a day saying the simple prayer, "My God, look at me working in your presence. Do with me and all that I have as you wish." And the reason I think that we can confidently abandon ourselves completely to God's will is because we believe that God loves us more than we love ourselves. I mean, our hearts are small and finite, and they're sinful, so we love ourselves imperfectly. But God is perfect, infinite love. He loves us far more than we're capable of loving ourselves. And God knows exactly what is best for us because he's all-knowing. And God desires to bring us to heaven even more than we desired ourselves. So the best way we can love ourselves is to abandon our will to God's will in every circumstance of our lives, saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." Now, at first, it's not easy to do, and it requires a lot of practice. But the saints who did practice this and accomplished it in their lives, they tell us that that's not only how we become holy, but it's how we can have real peace in our heart always. So I'd like to just close with one amazing and true story that I think illustrates for us how this can be done. Father John Towler was a Dominican priest in Europe who lived in the Middle Ages, and he was famous throughout Europe for being a holy man, a mystic, and also a Europe's best preacher at the time. He wrote many works, and in one of his writings, he shares a true experience that he said happened to him. He said that for years he had prayed to God to send him someone who would show him and teach him what real spiritual life consisted of and what really was the way to holiness and the summit of holiness. One day he says he was at prayer, and he said he suddenly heard an inner voice say to him, "Go to church now in this town and you will have the answer to your prayers." So he hurriedly got up and went to the church, and when he arrived, he found a poor beggar sitting on the steps of the church. The beggar was dirty looking, his hair was disheveled, he was dressed in rags, and he was barefoot, but he had a kind face. So Father John Towler was moved to greet the beggar, and he just said, "Good day, my friend." And the beggar said, "Well, thank you, Father, it is a good day. But then again, I don't recall ever having a bad day." And surprised by such an answer, Father Towler said, "Well, God must have certainly given you a very happy life." And the beggar said, "Well, that's true. I don't remember the last time I was unhappy." And Father Towler was confused, and he said, "But how can this be? You're obviously in very difficult circumstances." And the beggar said, "That's true, but the reason I am at peace and content deep in my heart is because when I have nothing to eat, I give thanks to God. When it rains or snows, I bless God for his providence. When someone insults me or drives me away, I give glory to God. I have become accustomed to will unreservedly what God wills for me in every present moment, because he's promised in Scripture that all things work together for good for those who love God. Therefore, I choose in every circumstance to love God by uniting my will to his will, and therefore I know all things are working out for good." So amazed, Father Towler asked, "Well, how did you reach such high perfection?" And the beggar said, "Well, I've cultivated the habit of conversing and talking with God in all things, and I've become firmly persuaded that God does all things, or he permits things to happen, for his glory and our greater good. So I'm always at peace no matter what happens." And so Father Towler said he finally had the answer to his prayers. He could see that the practice of surrendering and uniting his will to God's will in all circumstances, trusting that that was what God wanted for him and what was best for him, brought this poor beggar to the very heights of spiritual perfection. In his poverty, this beggar was richer than the wealthiest man in Europe. In his difficulties, he had more inner peace and contentment than all worldly enjoyments could offer him. And so today we see in the gospel, and we're told that Mary is blessed because she believed in God and abandoned herself entirely to his will. And she said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Jesus often told his disciples, "I have come not to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me." And so this is the goal, saints say, we are aiming for. In all our prayers, in our meditation on Scripture, coming to Mass, confession, doing volunteer work, all our good deeds, the one goal is to try to know and fulfill and unite our will to God's will in our life. And so let us ask the grace to be firmly convinced today that God loves us infinitely more than we love ourselves, that what he desires for us in each present moment is infinitely better in the long run, even if it's hard, than what we would desire for ourselves. But in order to bring about such great perfection in our lives, God does require our permission and our cooperation. So let us therefore cultivate the habit of turning to God in our day many times, in pleasant moments and in difficult moments, and simply say to God, "O my Jesus, as you will it, I accept it and give my will to yours. Jesus, I trust in you."